This is the Power Producers Podcast, where we are refining and redefining the sales game.
Rule number one is you have to believe in yourself. You're the only one who doesn't think you belong in this appointment. The prospect has already validated your existence by scheduling time with you. Get it through your head you belong here, go in there, crush it, and close the deal.
A place where sales professionals can come to learn from other sales professionals and thought leaders that have mastered their craft.
The difference between a good salesperson and a best-in-class salesperson is only 2 minutes. By spending an extra 2 minutes on what you might think is a mundane task in the sales game, you separate yourselves from the pack, you grow your book of business, you close more deals, and you retain your accounts.
As well as their peers who are still striving for perfection to achieve their why.
I have a wife and 4 kids. Failure is not an option.
Real sales professionals. Real stories. Real results.
It's no different than being a professional baseball player. You can't be a one-trick pony. You have to be a 5-tool player in order to succeed in this game.
This is the Power Producers Podcast, production redefined. Are you ready to feel the power?
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Power Producers Podcast, where we are refining and redefining the sales game. And guess what? We gave you the double whammy of workers' comp on today's marathon recording schedule because we wrapped up with Kevin Ring just a little bit ago. And I don't know, man. Like, I'm not even going to say that it's getting better. It's getting worse. I just think we're continuing to deliver a crazy amount of value. Oh, my goodness.
This is the baton.
Yeah, we got my man, Jess Dantese, from literally said this today in our sales meeting. My favorite piece of software that we have in the agency right now, Zendjeries. And I'm looking forward to getting caught up with him. But more than that, I'm looking forward to seeing my guy in Key West here in a few weeks.
Yes,
and getting him into the family, man. You know, we talk about him all the time. We've had him on the podcast a few times, post about him on LinkedIn. But so many people in Killing Commercial are dying to meet you, man. We're pumped to have you come down and hang with us.
Well, thank God it's in June, man, because I am literally still milking that winter body, and I'm going to need till June to really kind of get beach ready over there. But don't judge me, man. I'm an old guy. I'm looking forward to meeting the family, too.
That's all right. I've been working on it since January 1st, and that progress is slow and steady. You know, when we were in our 20s and 30s, it was a whole different ballgame, man, and everybody warns you what's going to happen and you don't believe them. And then it does. And then you do.
Well, thank God we're in the mental game part of life, right?
We're
flexing the mental game.
No kidding. So what's going on, man? You guys have changed a few things around from where you started. And let's maybe start there, because I think what I see happening is you've got some different pricing and things that have come out that might make this a little bit more attractive to agencies. I mean, I thought it was attractive the way it started, and we decided we wanted to do business. But God, before you even get into that, I have to tell you the amount of time that Zendjeries saves me personally. And we're still getting to the point where we're uploading people. We haven't even gotten close yet. We've gotten some problem children up there. But just taking that off my plate in conjunction with having Abby here as full-time risk management practice lead now, like, it's amazing how much that takes from a stress standpoint, don't have to deal with, but also a time standpoint, which creates a stress issue.
Yeah, well, you really kind of hit the nail on the head why we even exist, right? So, like, for years, I'm sitting in your seat for years. That was one of the biggest headaches and then I was all commercial. So I was leading with comp most of the time, which probably a lot of your listeners are doing the same thing. And by the way, I think that's a fantastic way to go about it, because it is a very big pain point, not just the agency, but the policyholders, the businesses that you're talking to, that just go ahead and accept they have a problem with work comp. Now, they're not going to tell you that because
they don't know it. Half the time, they don't even know it. They think they have an insurance problem. They don't have an insurance problem. They have a process and procedure problem.
Exactly. Standard operating processes when it comes to workers' comp, it sounds great, but it's the old Mike Tyson adage of once you get punched in the face, you know, the game plan breaks down. And it's the same thing in comp. Like, everybody thinks they have it. Hey, here it is. But as soon as you have the actual real life claim, the plan's out the windows, the procedures aren't in place, you find out what's real and what's not real. And then usually what the producer finds themselves doing is some sort of quarterly claim review, maybe biannual or annual, depending on the size of the account. And you're always looking backwards, trying to say, you should have turned left here, you should have turned right here, this is how much it cost you. And that's all great, right? But it didn't solve anything. It just kind of peeled the scab off, said, here's where you really sucked it up, you know? So what we want to do is influence in real time a better outcome, right? So it's all about just saying, listen, maybe you do have great standard operating procedures, maybe you don't, but either way, we're either going to enhance what you already have, or we're going to replace the things that aren't working, or we're going to create something brand new for you. But all three of those are taking you from a weakness to a strength. And it's a big deal. So even though you're leading with comp, which you should, now you have a solution that's not just price driven. You know, am I that much cheaper to win the business? And that's all good too. I'm not saying don't be a cheaper price, but don't win on that. You know, win on a solution. And so to your point, yes, there's some big things I really kind of want to share today. As a matter of fact, I'm picking right now your podcast to share some earth-breaking, earth-shattering news when it comes to work comp. You ready?
Ooh, I'm on the edge of my seat.
So, you know, as injuries, we're always evolving. Like, and we evolve based on user feedback. And I don't mean their words. I mean their actions. So we watch and we learn and we go, you know, mold the clay a little more. We go watch and learn, mold the clay. And it's all based on this user feedback, this data that we're getting in a raw dump. So one thing we realize, actually, there's two things that we're launching this week. Number one is something we have Zen Pros, which you already know. Those are kind of like the claim Sherpas. Those are the people that attach to claims and they're liaisons that make sure things are moving.
Which, by the way, Ethan King is absolutely fantastic at that for us.
Well, that's good. I won't tell him. He's actually my son-in-law, so I can't tell him that. But thank you for telling me that.
Hey, I don't know how that translates in the real world, man. I'm just telling you, he does a good job at work.
Yeah, he does. He does. And so the Zen Pros, we wanted them to be kind of this all-inclusive, come here, you know, we're going to take a big pile off your plate. And we do that, but there's still one big piece that was out of that equation. You know what it is? It's the employee pro. So we're helping the teams, the business teams, but here you have that injured party, right? And to me, this is what it's all about. That's why they're the center of our circle of care. The injured employee is going to determine a lot of how this claim goes.
And usually very quickly.
Very quickly. And you know what? I got to tell you guys this. So there's some people we go in on, you know, we do this nationwide, and some people just have this attitude already that employees just suck, you know, and it's all their fault and all this stuff. And it's like, well, you know, listen, sometimes they do, but a lot of times they're not acting in bad faith. You know what they're acting in? They're acting in fear. Or they're acting in frustration.
Well, we were talking to Kevin about this a couple I mean, my gosh, man, between you and Ring, we've probably got a dozen on the books. But, you know, we were talking to Kevin about this, and I don't remember the statistic that he said, but it was something along the lines of like 80% of the people who get injured at work, it's the first time that it's ever happened. And it may even be higher than that. And because that's the case, and because the company doesn't have anything in place to set expectations or educate them and sort of guide them through the process, they freak out. They're sitting at home, they're injured, they're hurt, they're mentally depressed because they're not back at work with their coworkers. And guess what? Big Papa John shows up with the Morgan & Morgan commercials on TV, and they're thinking to themselves, I don't have the money to pay my deductible. How much is this going to cost me if I have to go to the hospital? I don't even know. I need to find someplace to get answers. And I think, I honestly believe most of the people who even reach out to a plaintiff's attorney are doing it to get answers, not necessarily file a claim. Then you got great inside salespeople that aren't even attorneys in these call centers, and they usher the case through. And next thing you know, we are where we are.
So, Nate, again, a bullseye. And so let me give you, I could do this all day, but I won't. But let me give you one case because this just happened. So this was in California, and there was an injury where it was a, let's just say it was, I gotta be careful. I don't know how big your network is, man. So I can't tell every detail, but there's basically a cut, okay? And this particular cut, it didn't seem on paper like it should be that big a deal. It seemed like, well, it's just, that should be a medical only claim. Well, it wasn't, because their particular duty involved a lot of picking up and stacking, and this cut would have been the chance of rupturing again. Okay. So what happened is, like, there was a disconnect, because what happened in this particular claims, they didn't use injuries first. They called injuries to the rescue 12 days later, but they used a triage, and that's normal and that's fine. I don't have an opinion on that, but the triage took the information, talked to the employee, all that kind of stuff, sent it to the agent. And also, and well, at that point, it just stopped with the agent and the policyholder. It did not send it to the carrier. So somewhere in this 12-day span, nothing ever got reported to the carrier. And these two parties thought, this party thought the agent had done it, and this agent thought it was a return to work, men only, no big deal, you know, probably just going to be a couple $100. And to make a long story short, 12 days later, this guy had already talked to the work comp commission in California. They were 2 days away from talking to an attorney, already had his plan. This is when we got involved, and we didn't know any of that until we got the call that, hey, this guy's just highly upset. Would you talk to him? Because again, we do have this whole liaison thing that will be a go-between, because sometimes this is very emotionally charged. And so mm-hmm. we're a pretty good third party to say, tell me, you know? And so for 28 minutes, there's this phone call taking place. And this guy, I will tell you, was a stand-up guy. And he was literally about to be in tears because he needed the money, number one, and they didn't have a light duty program, and he didn't want to miss work. But because they didn't have a light duty and he had to miss work, he's going on 12 days no pay, had never talked to an adjuster. His HR department had got to the point where they're like, don't talk to us. We turn it into the carrier. You know, you'll be in touch. We can't do anything. So there's just a complete breakdown of information. And the whole time that's going on, the reason I'm telling you this, David, is because there's this emotional insight. This guy had he was not a bad guy. And so anyway, when we got involved, at that point, we had introduced the employee pro, which that person is all about, tell me how you feel. So after 28 minutes of laying on the virtual couch, he got all that out. We were within 3 hours. We got the adjuster assigned. We had the adjuster immediately patched through in a phone call. We had a claim number. He had his expenses somewhere to email those to get reimbursement, because he had come out of pocket for some stuff and all this stuff. And he was returned to work 2 days later. So long story short, that was on the verge of potentially, it could have been easy, a $50,000 claim in California, once there would have been litigation and things like that. I think this claim will probably end up closing out for like $1,500.
I was going to say 15. It sounded like a $1,500 claim to me.
That's what it should be.
And it's funny you say that about emotion being involved in everything else, because I know that the one time when emotion isn't involved, and that's before the claim ever even happens. And so one of the things with us bringing Abby into the mix that's really important to me is making sure that we do pre-injury management as soon as we bring an account on the board at this point. Now, this is something, quite honestly, I've always done it just automatically, but I failed my producers because I didn't formalize it in the agency. It was just one of those things I knew to do. But we've actually gone through and we formalized that program now, and so much so that we've created a producer game plan around that inside Killing Commercial. So all of our Killing Commercial agents also understand pre-injury management. And for those of you who don't even know what I'm talking about, basically what I'm saying is, this is everything you do to set up for a claim to happen before a claim has ever happened. It's making sure you have that return to work in place, making sure you have, you know, that packet of information that has to go to the urgent care or the emergency room with that person, knowing where you stand on drug-free workplace, bringing Zengeries into the mix when we bring that person on board, and then training our client and having Zengeries work with them to get them built out so that they understand this is the communication platform for all claims when you in workers' comp related, when you work with our agency, and getting all of that stuff, every single box checked, man. So now when our client unfortunately has a claim, should they have one, it's nowhere near as stressful because we took the time ahead of time to make sure that all of this stuff was laid out. I can't tell you the number of times that I'll go in and start a conversation with somebody around comp and they don't even know where to report a claim. you know, should one happen, let alone have all of these other things laid out. But it goes back to what I talk about. You know, you can tell whether or not somebody has pre-injury management in place just by reading the loss runs. I mean, it tells you the whole story. Do we have lag time? No pre-injury management. Do we have a complete description of the claim? No pre-injury management. You know, all of these things. And, you know, it's not like it's rocket science. It's not hard to do. Return to work is not that difficult to implement, but you have to know about it, then know how to articulate that to people. But then, you know, the claims process in and of itself, so many times I hear it from people, and not necessarily with our clients, but just friends that I'm talking to that, man, this adjuster is terrible. They don't ever get in touch. Well, what mechanism do you have in place in your agency to hold the adjuster accountable? Do you have one? And the thing is, you get the same answer every time. Well, I'm too busy to worry about helping other people do their job. Great. Then why don't you outsource it to somebody like Zendries, who that's their only job, is to hold those people accountable?
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I love that. So let me tell you this next feature. So that was part one. Part two is a little bit controversial. So how about that? Let's get the buzz. Let's get the scuttlebutt going in the work comp world.
It's almost like TMZ for workers' comp.
Yeah. So this one is, I can't wait to hear the water cooler talk on this one. So this was something we tossed around for about 5 years before we actually launched and created it. So we had a soft launch, just curious to see how this was going to go. We launched it in a couple of different plants. So it was a four walls type of risk and also in a contractor setting. And our feedback and our user experience was off the charts. And so we ended up publishing, as of this week, we'll have our first app that's called Zemployees. And so what that is everybody can pick and choose whether or not they want to access this and use this. So any Zendries user, any of your policyholders, if they want to go on the attack, kind of like you were talking about, if they want to be proactive, they have an option to give all their employees an app. And that app basically takes in a first notice right then and there, not the official form, but it starts everything in Zendries. So it's still all contained. It doesn't mean I've sent a claim to the carrier. What it did was it skipped these things where sometimes you still have lag time because a supervisor, sometimes it's his second or third, you know, claim in a month or a quarter, and they don't want to turn that in. And they're like, you know what, David, come back tomorrow. If you're still hurting, then we'll talk about it. And, you know, it's like, we don't want that, first of all. Second of all, what you're taking is their statement. So you're getting a chance to put a box around it immediately. So instead of HR or a supervisor reporting it and then going back to the employee and getting the employee affidavit signed off on, the employee is literally doing that on the spot. So they can take out their app. They can say, here's what happened, who, what, when, where, why. Here's a picture of it. Here's a video of it. Here's the evidence. And they click send, and it pings everybody in Zendries and says, hey, David's had a case. Here's the information. So immediately it's been reported to the team. And now it's still all internal, and you can do your due diligence and what happened. And is this really going to, is this going to move towards an actual claim where we turn in or not? But again, what it did was it moved everything from defensive to offensive, from reactive to proactive. And here's the original data. So in the first year that we were kind of running this behind the scenes, there was a lot of action in every place we put it in. A lot of people pushed the app. A lot of people had a report. What it returned was very, very few of those turned into any type of claim. And then the second year, there was less, and the third year less. And it wasn't because they became disinterested. It was because the employer got control. And so everything they near missed, everything they thought they had a problem with, they attacked immediately. Like, hey, you know, we've had 10 of these in the last 12 months. What are we doing wrong? And, you know, and again, they were able to keep it small. They were able to keep it internal. But in some cases, yes, it was a work comp case, and it was reported not an hour later, not a week later. It was instant, on the spot. And they took their own videos, their own photos. They uploaded them. Everybody knew what, who, what, when, where, why. And it happened lightning quick. And then they also have a place to return to on the app where they literally can tell us, how are you feeling about your app? And this is where our employee pro communicates with them on a weekly basis. Where are you going? When's the next appointment? Are you ready to go back with light duty? Any words that we can tell the team that you need help on? So it's a real big game changer. So I'm curious. I personally think it's going to be controversial because some people are scared to death of that thought. They're scared to death of giving the power over to the people, even though in reality, what you did was you gave power to get control. And so just because they're notifying doesn't mean loss.
It's very Zen, by the way. That's a very Zen thought process to give up power to gain control.
Yes, right? Let me hit the Zen chime bowl.
There you go.
Let it permeate.
So let me ask you this, because I want to make sure I understand. Are these people that have been injured already and they're reporting all of this? This is like, so we call this the safety devil in some cases, right? Where the safety devil goes in and their job is to find unsafe working conditions and things like that in the place. So this is giving the employees the ability to, now is it a, let me ask you this, is it a, is their name attached to it? Is it confidential? Do they like, so if I'm the employer, if I'm the employer and my employee goes in and says, these are the things that I'm seeing, do I know which employee did that? Or is it something where it's just blurred out, so they don't know which employee necessarily turned it in?
No, it's literally going to be attached to that particular employee. So it's not going to be one of these that's obscure and you don't know where that's coming from. But it's also more meant for some sort of event that was comp related, not so much near misses. But some of these events you and I would consider that's a near miss. You know, it was
an accident versus incident, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And so it is one of these things where it's kind of like, everybody can download it. Then the employer, it generates a token for every employer, and the employer can distribute that token to every employee to have them download it on their phones. Now, I know there's some people listening like, well, you can't have a phone on the shop floor and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's not for everybody.
And so listen, I don't want to give away everything that we're going to talk about on my boot camp on the 27th, but one of the sessions that I'm doing for this commercial boot camp is I'm bringing Abby on to talk about, I want to give everybody a look under the covers at what we're actually doing. So many times you hear us talk about it on the podcast. Now I want to show people, and I don't have a problem doing that. But one of the things that, that we've started doing with her leading the charge on that is we will create a landing page for each of our clients. That's literally just a static page on the website, but what it is a repository for all of the things that the employee may need. So it could have payroll, it could have Zendaries, it could have, you know, access to mineral or KPA or whatever. So then we teach them how to save that as a thumbnail on their phone, so it looks like an app, even though that it's not. But something like this would integrate perfectly like that, because we're going to go in and we're going to teach them what these resources are, why they're important to them, and how to use them. So then if all they have to do is go, boom, I can go right here. Even if it's a deep link back to your app that's on their phone, they're still going to one place to do it. And I'm a big fan of that, man. I mean, I think employees need to hold people accountable. The worst claims I've ever seen are in Part B of the workers' comp policy. And most of the time it's because the employees have been screaming to the employer something happened, they didn't fix it, and now the family sues them for negligence as a result of something they should have happened. Now, those employees it's their rightful thing to do is to let their employer know there's an issue. Now there's documentation against it. So I'm going to tell you right now, employers, you feel froggy jump, but you better be ready to make some corrections along the way, because if somebody cares enough to go in and take the time to do that, not like it's this long process, but if they care enough to go in and record that, it means that it is important to at least one of the people, and likely more people than what you realize. And it's time for you to go and fix that issue.
Well, to your point, there's also a feature, like, let me tell you, kind of like it's not your opening Pandora's box. To me, it's you're putting a box around the loss instantly. And here's why. So it's, and you've heard me say this, and some people don't like this phrase. I do. So I'm going to say it. But it's a bit of a Trojan horse for an employer. So don't be scared of this. This is
so disappointed. I was crossing my fingers it was pregnant with information.
Well, this podcast is pregnant with information. I think we're actually having the baby today. But I'm going to tell you right now, this thing right here, like the reason you're putting a box around it is the next two steps, because it's all about automated workflows and injuries, right? So the first thing that pops up after that is, boom, checkpoint, injury submitted, way to go. And it's click on, there's two documents that are immediately going to be called to action. One, you click on it and it's called the incident analysis. And it just extracted all the information they tapped in there and it put it on a form, an official form. And now it asks them, is this your statement? Yes or no? And you're going to sign their John Hancock, which is timestamp, date stamp. And so you've got now an affidavit that says, I swear this is the case. And so whether it's fraudulent, now you've got something in writing that puts a box around it. Whether it's legit, you've got something in writing that puts a box around it. And the second one is a form where they say, I refuse treatment, because you know that happens, right? You get people that's like, I'm fine, I'm shaking it off. Well, that's fine, but I still have to do, I have to cross my T and dot my I's as an employer. So I want you to sign this form. So there's only two options. One, sign what you just submitted, or two, sign and then refuse treatment. That's fine too. Like, we can't make you go get treatment, but at the end of the day, I need you to sign off that we offered it and you refused it. So immediately you're putting over this fire suppression blanket. Immediately you've headed that claim down the right path. Instantly, no matter what happens next. And again, maybe I shouldn't use claim. This injury, this incident, right? Whatever just came through to you, you've immediately, automatically, before anybody touched it, you've put a bit of a box around it. So it's probably going to go in the right direction the rest of its life versus outside, like you were just describing. I couldn't agree more. Most of the ones that get nuclear, everybody's trying to control, it's going to be fine. You know, we're not real sure, because they're personally afraid that their mod's going up, their premium's going up. They have the wrong outlook of how work comp works. They don't understand the pricelessness of promptness, you know? And that's what we're changing with these employees. It's like, hey, you don't need Doolittle and Billum. You don't need Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. What you need is just a team, and we've got that. And now you're connected. You're not alone. We'll tell you what to expect. Boom, 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 boom. And just what you described a minute ago, those standard operating procedures, well, now they're on autopilot. And you don't have to worry, well, is Betty doing that? Well, now we know she is, because it's contained in the workflow in your personalized app.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so much power in that. And, you know, here's the thing, man. And I know you're going to agree with me on this. And I'm going to disagree with my peer group on this, but most of the issue with the apps comes from a lack of adoption. And it's not because it's not a valuable product. It's not because it doesn't get results. It's because agents don't take the time to educate their client on exactly how it benefits them and make it a part of their onboarding process when they bring people on. Like, it's a non-negotiable. If we're going to represent you, you're going to have Zendrys in your company. And that's how we're going to handle our workers' comp claims moving forward. You don't get a choice. And we use it at the point of, and it's not a surprise, because we use it at the point of sale when we're talking to people. It's a huge advantage, because most of the time, somebody's mod's jacked. Somebody has claims that they think were fraudulent or weren't handled right. And now all of a sudden, we come in with the gong, boom, and here we are. We're going to make all of this better. You're not going to have to worry. Let me bring you into my Zen garden. Let me bring you. But yeah. I mean, it's crazy to think that. And, you know, we've got a client right now that's running a little hotter than they have the last couple of years. Thank God they're on your platform. But it's one of those things where even when they want to call us and say, hey, I'm going to go ahead and enter this claim into the carrier or whatever, we're still going to redirect them back. Say, make sure you get it into Zendrys too, because that's where all this is going to start. Oh, I completely forgot about it. But if we didn't have a process for, number one, requiring it, and then number two, educating about it, and then number three, holding people accountable to it so we're executing on it, then I could understand why people would think it wouldn't work. But those are the agencies that probably aren't talking to you anyhow, because they just think it's the carrier's job to handle all that.
Well, you also bring up a great point of, it's not for everybody, you know? So a lot of times, the things you're speaking about, these aren't things that you may do, you may not do. You've made everything that you adopt a non-negotiable. So you implement. And so a lot of times you have agencies out there and they know good and well, they just can't do, or they're not willing to do what you do. And to me, I'm like, at least you're self-aware. That's good. Then we're probably not a good fit, you know, because we're about solutions. We're not about gimmicks. So if you really want a solution, Zendrys is probably a really good option for an agency. If you're looking for a gimmick that might get you, you know, a 20% better closing ratio, please don't call us. Please,
yeah, because you're going to end up not, you're going to lose it on the retention side because you don't deliver on the back end.
Yeah, please don't bring us into the mix. And it, you know this to be true, right? So it's kind of like this percent of the population out here is kind of getting back to your original question about our pricing changes. That's where that really stemmed from is we had an epiphany ourselves is we obviously being a retired, recovering producer myself, I have a heart for that, you know? And it's kind of like, I'd love to help everybody, but we can't give it away. So we priced it to our bare bones. So we have the wholesale pricing that agencies can take advantage of, but some agencies still can't afford that. So the flip side of that is like, you know what? I get
it, man.
That.
Just stop for a second. I'm going to tell you something. It's not that they can't afford it. It's they won't afford it, you know? And just call it. You can't say that because you got a product to sell. You guys want to throw rotten tomatoes, throw them at me. Get off your damn wallet and get the thing in-house because you're costing yourself so much more money in profit sharing. And if you don't care about money, then at least the trips that you get from some of these carriers, you ain't going to qualify because you're not giving them good business. And if you do, you're not keeping it good business because you don't have the controls in place. There is not an agent out there in my mind that could convince me that this is a bad decision for their agency. There are agents that can convince me that they're not willing to spend the money because I know how cheap they are.
Well, and I do appreciate that. But I like to say, you know what? If you can't, I'll give you one last bite at the apple, right? Here's one more option. And that is just, it's still a solution. Just because you don't gift it to people, like you're not going to gift it. I get that too. Well, give them an option to take advantage of the solution because you still brought the solution. Now they're going to pay for it, but you still looked like the problem solver, you know? And so in that scenario, yeah, it's the full retail pricing, but to that one policyholder, it's still incredibly cheap compared to their work comp spend. Their work comp spend's a lot of money, and we're just a fraction of that. And what we did was we broke it down. Like we actually had a company out of San Francisco that asked us to partner, and they focus on health insurance. And so we've really never come through the health insurance side. And they were like, listen, can you muster up a price per employee? Because that's how people buy in health insurance. And I never really got into the health insurance side of things. And they were like, yeah, we could do that. And so I'm sitting here nickel and diamond, you know, I've got this calculator out. And I'm like, what can we do? You know, how can we break this down? And so I had this number and I won't tell you exactly what it is. But they said, it's got to be under $699 per employee per month. And I'm like, $699? Have you lost your mind? I mean, where I come from, nobody in their right mind would pay that. And so we ended up with $1.99 per employee per month, which they thought, they're like, that's not even our profit, you know, so they hate that number. They charge $12.99 for their particular product. And that's all great. Hey, to each their own. But we're happy at $1.99. And we feel like that's affordable for everybody. There's not a business in the world that can't afford that. And so as an agency, just because you don't take the wholesale Zendrys relationship, you can still provide Zendrys as a solution, but give, for God's sakes, give the policyholder a chance. You know, don't just because you're not going to gift it and pay for it. Well, don't, you know, keep them in the dark and say, well, good luck with your work comp program. We're still a really good viable solution. And if that's the only thing you want to do and you just want to be an influencer, we'll actually pay a 15% commission on anybody we write that you brought to us at that level. So it seems like it's a no-brainer. I think the wholesale, like to you, when I said,
here's my thing, man. Why would I do that? Because now I lose the stickiness of giving Zendrys as part of my tech stack, right? Part of the magic of having you in-house is the fact they can't just go to the place across the street and get it, you know. But if I'm going to go and I'm going to sell, you know, sell them a something at a per employee per month deal, they can take that insurance relationship anywhere they want to go and continue to have Zendrys.
Yeah, it's one less exit barrier. And you actually, you know, my origin story. So you remember kind of like when we first started, when I did this as an agency owner, I had a book of business that was running a tiny bit of a work comp temperature. And when we inserted Zendrys at the time, we took the loss ratio from the mid 50s to a 9. And I had a contingency check that went from like a $50,000 check to a $200,000 check instantly. And so that had nothing to do with my commissions. It was non-recurring.
Hold on a second,
revenue.
Because if that were to happen where I got $150,000 more at the end of the year, could I maybe afford Zendry's as a result of that?
Yeah, I mean, so I'm with you. I'm like, listen, your retention goes through the roof because we have a 99% retention ratio nationwide. It makes clients incredibly sticky because once they've adopted an app and this is part of their life and they can't imagine work comp without it, you're going to be very, very hard to beat. It doesn't matter who comes in with cheap pricing because if they got to go back to the PDF loss run world, I mean, they're probably not going to unseat you. So it's a great retention tool. The whole purpose of Zendry's is to drive claims costs down. So that means your loss ratios are going to look better. That means your contingency checks are going to be higher. I mean, I could go on forever about why this is important for an agency to put us in the game. I think our ROI is ridiculous compared to what most agencies spend with no ROI, just in their branding, you know, but we're something that's attached to ROI.
Well, I got to be honest with you too, man. One of the things we're experiencing right now is there's a lot of change in the carriers. As things have starting to tighten up, I'm seeing carriers that are laying off marketing people, laying off auditors, outsourcing some of that, reducing where they're, you know, the number of claims adjusters and expanding the number of files that are on their desk. And I've got to tell you, like, we have had several accounts where if we wouldn't have had Zendry's in place for us, those claims would have blown completely out of control because we're dealing with an adjuster that, quite frankly, is overloaded. And I mean, we all understand the old saying about you got to get your file to the top of the stack. Sometimes that stack is so freaking high, man, there's no chance that you can get to the top of it. And none of us as producers or agency principals have the time to sit here and worry about that. Let's call it what it is. That is a non-revenue bearing activity, which means it's my least favorite activity. Let me outsource that. I know what my time's worth. If it is not going to pay me $500 an hour, I'm not going to do it. It is cheaper for me to hire somebody else to go do that for me. The other thing is, I'm not going to be the guy that knows how to navigate those waters the best. It's not what I do. I can go out, I can create a demand for what we do inside of my community. I can bring new accounts on, and I am smart enough and humble enough to know that I don't know everything. I'm not the smartest guy at everything. And so I'm perfectly fine taking and outsourcing that to Zendry's and the Zenpro that's going to handle it. And the fact that they give us the level of communication that they do, and I get a push notification on my phone every single time there's an update, as the agency principal, that is sleep insurance for me, man. I never have to worry about where something is because it's always up to date. And if for some reason, for some odd reason, if it hasn't been updated and it's in the back of my mind, all I got to do is push a button and ask a question and I'm going to get the answer. So, you know, for me, it again, not that I'm on here trying to have an infomercial for Zendry's, but I'm telling you, people, I'm a raving fan of the product. I'm giving you one of my number one competitive advantages on a silver platter for you to take or leave.
You know, I love when you point out some of these, the what's it called, a BFO, you know, the blinding flash, the obvious. But I don't know if everybody understands, when COVID hit, it made these things, you know, these Zoom meetings, all that stuff, front and center, a lot more prominent. But it also ushered in something everybody's whispering about called the Great Resignation. And most of that was inside of the adjuster space. So a lot of adjusters said, sayonara, see you later. I'm not coming back. This really was my opportunity to get out. And they took it. So guess what happened? There's not a big influx of young people dying to become work comp adjusters. So they have a big problem. And just like you said, their caseload went up and their employees went down. And so I can tell you from experience in your particular book that I can think of it right now is a situation where one of the Zen pros came and asked me, and I was curious. I love real life scenarios, right? And there was a particular adjuster, had a very high caseload, had just gotten this case because another adjuster had quit And nobody had told anybody. And we found it out because the call.
I know exactly which one you're talking about. You know why? Because I got Zengeries in my agency, baby.
And you know that frustration there is when we had a conversation with this new adjuster, there was already an opinion formed. And it was like, whoa, you know, wait a minute. We're not done here. You know, there's still some due diligence. I understand the frustration. And so what a lot of adjusters do is when they get the file, they look at markers, right? They're like, this case has this marker. I have a bad feeling. And it's like, hey, guess what? You may be right. That data may be right. I understand the insurance is built on the law of large data, but let's just get a little bit more data before you draw that final conclusion. Let's find out, you know, what's legit and what's not before it gets, let's don't go sideways yet. You know, there's still a lot of unpacking we got to do. So it was really an eye opener for me, David, because this is not just happening there. It's happening nationwide because now the workload went up, the bandwidth and time went down, and now it's getting pushed back into y'all's living rooms to deal with. And it's kind of like a toilet that overflows, right? So it's like, you don't want that. What we want to do is make sure that the pipes stay wide open and these cases get moved to and fro like they need to be. It's probably not the best analogy, but it was an eye-opener. And you need to understand this. If you're in the work comp space and you're selling work comp, I don't care what the label is. I don't care what the brand is. Everybody thinks they're the best. And so, but there's a problem behind the scenes, and it comes when there's claims and there's a caseloaded adjuster, which everybody's caseloaded. And guess what? That's no longer their problem. Now it's your problem. And the question is, how are you going to solve for that? There's no, you know, quarterly claim review that's going to point the finger to that. But I'm telling you right now, it's a big part of the problem. So you need to start thinking outside of the box of not just the solution, but what kind of problems are on your plate now that you never saw before.
Well, let's talk about another part of the issue too, because it's become a trend among some of the carriers to offer an incredibly large amount of commission for you to put new business on the books in year one and then drop your renewal commission to over 50% less, some cases 60% less than what you got paid in year one. And so what I see happening is, yeah, we get a great hit for commission in year one to go to a carrier, but then we're taking a massive haircut in year number two. And now here we are in year number three, and you got overloaded adjusters, and you're wanting me to work 2-3 times more for less commission. This is a death spiral for the carriers that are doing that. I mean, I've said it time and time again when people ask me what my thoughts are on it. Why don't you just give me a flat renewal that's a little bit more? Keep me in the game with you. Keep me interested, because what I see happening is agents aren't going to want to work for a fraction of the commission. After 2 or 3 years, you're going to have some claims piled up. They're going to get irritated about it, and then they're going to move that account somewhere else, and the carrier's not going to have premium in the trail to offset what they spent out in claims in the first couple of years. It's just crazy. And just so you know, it happens to be that one account you just mentioned is with one of the carriers that's employing that strategy. And I think it's an absolutely terrible way for them to do business. And I've been on record saying that.
Well, let me tell you, I love that. And I'm going to give the listeners some digital smelling salts right here. So like if you want to change the game, you're going to have to understand that doing the same thing over and over is the definition of insanity. And if you think that you're going to be able to outrun this deal, you're wrong. You know, and your policy.
We're going to make it up on volume, right? I mean, yeah. It's like your Saturday Night Live commercial for First Citywide Bank, the bank that makes change. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It was a takeoff on the old Citibank commercials. But the whole premise of this bank is all they do is make change. He's like, you can come in with, you know, X number of dollars, we can give you 2,000 nickels. You could come in with a $100 bill and we'll give you 5 crisp 20s for birthday cards. We can handle special requests like that, usually in the same day. And they cut to the guy at the end and they're like, people ask me all the time, if you're only making change, how do you see profitability in your business model? And the guy's like, quite simple, volume. Like, and that's all he's doing. He's on a hamster wheel. And that's where we're at in this game right now, man.
You know, when I was, this was probably about 7 years ago, I was still in the production game, and I was at one of these cocktail parties hosted by the a work comp carrier. I won't tell you the name, you'll know them. And as we're making our ways around the room, you know, this one guy was telling me, he's like, listen, agents in general, whether they like it or not, are an army of free labor for us, for carriers. And then he went on to spout out why he said that, you know, about, because we don't pay everybody to work for us. We just give them a contract and you go basically create your own money. You know, I'll give you a contract for free. I'm not paying you to take it. You don't get anything. But if you go sell something, I'll give you some of the money back. You know, and it was a slap in the face, like an eye opener of like, wow, we really are. To them, we're nothing more than a digital army of free labor. I'm sorry, not digital. We're an army of free labor.
You said it nicely. I could say that we're prostitutes because they're pimping us out.
Yeah. And so you need to understand that. If you really grab the concept of that, you might start behaving a little bit different. You need to see somebody. And here's another thing, and you probably could speak to this, but they're right now. I was going to say you need to seize the reins and seize control, because very shortly, if you're not careful, Mr. and Ms. Agency owner and producer, the industry can replace you. You know, if you don't have a real value proposition, like what is your value proposition? If you're just, you know, the go-between, before long, there'll be an AI that can replace that. But if you are a solution provider, you own the client. And right now there's a tug of war on simple data. And if you guys are proactive, anybody listening, you know that's the case. It's getting harder and harder for you to just get an update on a claim. It's like, well, we don't have to talk to you. This is between us and the client. It's like, well, wait a minute. I'm the agent on the account. You know, I do have a right to know this stuff, but it's getting a lot harder to get this data out of the providers. And so you need to start paying attention. There's strange things afoot right now, and there's a big tug of war over things that used to be a non-negotiable. Like you could have anything you want anytime you wanted it. It's not so easy anymore, and it's getting harder. Why do you think that is? You need to wake up, because at some point when they close it off to you, now what value do you really bring? I mean, it's going to get harder and harder. So you need to start standing up for yourself and start demanding the data and become a solution provider, not an insurance seller.
Yeah, I can tell you, man, right now, specifically for that reason and a couple of others, every single account is being scrutinized at renewal. And our experience with the carrier and our relationship with that carrier is being analyzed to determine how we're going to approach the renewal. And, you know, I'm of the mindset, I don't like to market accounts every year. And in Florida, I really don't have to, because we got state administered pricing. So as long as the dividend stays right, or if it's in a retro, the retro factors are right, I'm probably not going to market it if we're getting taken care of on the claim side and everything else. But we're at a point right now where that's not the case. And so we're looking at every single renewal, every single carrier, because here's what I do know. Even though workers' comp rates down here have decreased every year across the board, except for one that I've been in the industry, the other ones aren't. And if I can go in and I can say, hey, you know what? You're being a little cheaper than I think you need to be with what you're doing on the dividend or the reward for my client. For 4 years, we've implemented everything we asked you to do. It's time that you give us a little bit more to wet our beak. And if the answer is no, we're going to end up going someplace where we can put that. And, you know, there are carriers that are still not even filed for a dividend in the state of Florida, national carriers that everybody would know if I mentioned them right now. And I can tell you that whole workers' comp book is at risk, because we're getting hammered so hard on auto and so hard on GL. We got to scrap to find any way at all for our client to claw some of that money back and get it in their pocket, especially the pristine accounts.
Absolutely. I mean, and it all boils down to what is your identity, right? Like nobody has to question your identity, because your actions speak louder than words. But a lot of agencies can't look in the mirror and say that same thing. So you need to start waking up, and you do need to have that hard conversation with yourself of who are we? You know, what are we doing? And is it legit? Like, you can't name it and claim it. I'm sorry. That's just not how it works. In my opinion, it doesn't work that way in religion. And it doesn't work that way in insurance either, you know, really in life in general. You got to work hard. There's a lot of blue collar effort behind the white collar insurance industry. But a lot of you guys, and I'm speaking in general, you don't want to put in that blue collar effort. You know, you just want it to come to you. You like to attend the stuff and the parties and look the part and you dress the part, you drive the part, but you don't work the part. You know, so don't
I say it all the time, man. I'm a blue collar dude caught up in a white collar world.
And you have to be. Like, if you really want to excel, it's quite frankly, it's just that easy. Even though that's not easy, is it? Like, you get up earlier, you go to bed later, you're looking at stuff on the weekends and holidays and vacations. And unfortunately, a lot of times, if you want the prize, that's how you play the game. But you, even a little goes a long way, because there's so many pretenders in the space. And here's why I say that. Like, a lot of people, a lot of agencies now are bringing like an in-house claims team, especially the bigger alphabet houses and stuff. But here's what I found. They're even worse than caseloaded adjusters, because they don't just work on, you know, one section of claims. They work on all claims. And so just like the caseloaded work comp system is stretched thin, the industry, the insurance agencies that bring that in-house, they're also stretched so thin that it almost is like you almost get to a point where you're embarrassed to introduce them, because you don't want them to have a bad experience. So everybody needs to understand, like, there's going to have to be, like, you have to have some strategy. And also, I say that so you won't be afraid, like, if you're going up in competition, just because somebody has in-house claims, I would actually attack, you know, and be like, well, tell me how that's been. You know, tell me exactly what you're getting out of that, because most of the time, it's not a great experience. But yeah, don't be scared of that.
The first thing you're going to hear is, well, they handle all of our auto, our GL, our workers' comp. Yeah. It's like, yeah. Oh, so they're an expert at nothing? And let me just push back in another way. How much does it cost to hire somebody to come in and babysit claims? Because they're not adjusting them. All they're doing is following up with all of the different adjusters that are actually doing the adjusting on the claims or not. Again, Jess, I got to come back to it. What's cheaper? What's better? You know, bring in an actual expert that's dedicated to the workers' comp claims in your agency, or hiring that person in that's probably not an expert at it, but they're just really good at following up and making phone calls. Again, it's a more economical and more efficient model to outsource everything to Zendrys on the workers' comp side than it is for me to even think about trying to bring that in-house. I would never even consider it at this point.
Yeah, our chief project engineer, Jonathan Harris, he loves to always use the phrase, well, now you have one throat to choke. And I'm like, you know, I don't love that. Which he loves it even more because of that. I was like, how about one shoulder to hug? You know,
why? Yeah, one back to pat.
Yeah, I don't want to be choked. I want to be loved. But that is the same scenario. It's like, at the end of the day, that's exactly right. Like, I would literally put us up against anybody in the world, because we're really, really good at what we do. And we're getting better every day. Just like I've told you earlier, we look at data and we move quickly to solve, you know. So in a lot of ways, we build the plane while we're flying, but that's based on user feedback. And most of y'all wish big companies would do that, but they don't. You know, they do an annual review, and you got to wait a whole nother 18 months before they can push one little solution out. We can push it out 18 hours if we know what the problem is. You know, so there's a lot of benefits you get with Zendrys that are intangible, but the tangibles are, you're going to get a client a way better user experience. You're going to play offense instead of defense. You're going to drive claims down. You're going to drive mods down. You're going to have a sustainable premium that's something that's measurable. And it's all easy. There's no webinars here. There's no lunch and learns. It's just plug in and go. Press the gas and go. And that's why it's easy for people to adopt it. But you definitely should look at something. If you can't use injuries, find something, because flying bare, you're going to lose.
100%, man. Well, listen, I think we could probably go for another couple of hours, but I want to be respectful of your time. And I'm be honest with you, I'm running out of gas too, man. I'm on podcast 404, and that's the first time in months that we've done four back to back to back to back on a Monday. But I want to thank you, man. I want to thank you for what you've done to come up with this technology and to make it available to us. You know, I think a lot of times that we have a sense of entitlement as producers or agency owners that you owe us something. You didn't have to leave your job as a producer to do this. You don't have to make it available to any of us. You could have started an agency that was tech focused on workers' comp and just made this a proprietary product, but instead you decided it was your heart's desire to share it with the world and make the world a better place for the injured worker. And I don't know how many people actually connect those dots, man. So I just wanted to tell you in front of, oh, I don't know, about 40,000 people out there listening to this, how much I appreciate the fact that you actually have done this. And as much as I appreciate that, I also appreciate the investment that you have made into the Killing Commercial community and my agency personally, because I can promise you we are all better for having known you and having known Zenjuries. And I can't tell you how excited I am to see what's going to happen with the new things that you're launching and see what happens the next time that we talk on a podcast, because I know that it's going to be onward and upward, and you're just going to continue to push the envelope, man. And you know that whatever you need, I'm in your corner. I'm a big boy. I can push with you. I might not be the smartest dude, but I do have some brute strength behind me. So I'm happy to help in any way I can.
Thank you. It's very humbling to hear that. And I thank you very much as well. Game recognizes game. Game respects game. I mean, I'm pulled into the vortex of what you're doing. And I love, you know, the here's what I love about what you're doing the most, David, is it's validated. You know, this isn't just a bunch of words, and anybody listening understands what I mean by that. It's so frustrating to just listen to a bunch of words all the time. You can get podcasts anywhere. You can get all this kind of crap everywhere. This is legit. This is material. This is literally something that, again, you're sharing your very life openly in front of people, which most people don't have the balls to do that. You know, it's too scary. You don't want to be judged. You don't want people to look at you funny. You don't want them to, you know, everything that goes with that. And the fact that you're willing to walk in front of the world and just say, here I am. Here's what I'm doing. You know, here's what's working for me. I applaud that, man. And that's why I'm part of your group. I think it's something that just attracts me to my core. And my DNA is a lot like that DNA of yours. Just blue collar. You know, let's just get after it. See what happens.
I appreciate it, man. I tell you, there's days that I sit back and I wonder how deadly would I have been 15, 20 years ago if I had the level of resources that are at our fingertips today.
Yeah.
You know, and it just didn't exist back then. So, you know, if you're a casual listener, I would encourage you to subscribe and not be. If you've heard something on here that makes you interested in Zenjuries, tell them where to go, Jess. I know you have the ability to book demos and sort of get a little bit of a look under the covers, but what's the best way for people to reach out?
Just go to Zenjuries.com. There's that active calendar link on there. Pick any time you want. I personally am usually the one that'll meet you in there. I always try to be, at least. But no matter what, I promise you, you won't feel like, well, that was just a bunch of wasted time. Like, no matter what, you're going to be very compelled because it's something you've never seen before. If it did exist, I wouldn't exist because I didn't start out just to be another one of however many. There's nothing like what we do. So even if you want to just see what it looks like, it'll be a small return on investment. I think probably a bigger return on investment. But come to Zenjuries.com, book a time, and just take a look at what we're doing.
Good deal. With that, people, we're going to wrap it up. I know that in just a few short weeks, me and my man are going to be down in the happiest place on earth. I'm not talking about Disney. I'm talking about Key West, Florida. I'm going to have a rod and a reel in my hand catching somebody's dinner. But before I do that, we're going to have a great time just talking shop and getting together and having our focus groups and our panels and all of the stuff that makes that event so special for the agents to attend. And Jess is definitely going to be part of that. And I'm super pumped to have him there. So everybody, we'll catch you next time. See ya.
You've been listening to the Power Producers Podcast. You can follow Killing Commercial Insurance on Facebook and YouTube. And if you want to take your game to the next level, check out our book, The Extra 2 Minutes, and our website, killingcommercial.com.